This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
I'm feeling spry today. I mean, I'm feeling real spry. So much better than the day after Ashley and Jared's wedding. Hey, big news. We got Danielle and Easton in studio. They're going to be joining me. We're also going to be talking to Chicken Man about Jordan's attitude at Paradise. And if he thinks he was in the right or wrong by fighting Christian. But before we do that, big news in Bachelor Nation. Ashley Iaconetti has now changed her name to Ashley Iaconetti Haben.
Woo!
Big.
Yeah.
Big. It's official. We wondered. We didn't know. And it has happened. You know, we love those two. We can't wait to talk to Ashley more about her amazing time in Newport. But today is about the second episode of Bachelor in Paradise this week. It was I would not say it was wild and crazy, really, towards the very end. I want to get Danielle and Easton's opinions. Danielle, if you could explain this episode in one or two words, what would it be?
Ooh.
You can even use four if you need.
Easton, you go first.
I would describe this episode as upsetting.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. You sad? Does it make you sad?
It makes me sad and it makes me frustrated. There were parts that made me happy, but mostly I felt sad.
Okay, I would describe it as love square, because it's a square between.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You get it?
Between I get it.
Jordan, Nicole, Clay, and Christian. It's a big old love square.
We kind of went away, it felt like, this episode from the Blake, Hannah, Dylan drama to now Nicole is kind of the bachelorette in paradise. Here's the rundown of last night's episode, just to remind everybody that was watching. Dean is the new member. He comes in with a mustache. It was trending on Twitter. Danielle, mustache, good or bad?
I loved it.
I feel like
I feel like his personality really shows with the mustache.
It's
right?
Funny. Yeah, it is. And we know Dean well. He comes in, he, you know, talks down about himself. He, you know, he makes it sound like he has nothing going on in life. He lives in a van. He doesn't have a job, no ambition. Dean has wanderlust. And I think that's probably the best way to explain Dean is the guy just loves adventure. And I think all of that is his ambition, is to adventure. Now, to say I love to travel, I don't think is a fair synopsis of what he's doing. That's like everybody loves to travel at some level. He likes to adventure. He likes to journey, and he's soaking that into the mustache kind of adds to it. Here's something I'm a little envious about. You both will know about this. I grew a mustache, I don't know, two months ago. No good reaction. Zero positive reaction from it.
Honestly,
Dean grows one. Everybody loves it.
I loved your mustache. I think we need to bring it back.
It's not true. It was a joke.
No,
nobody
it's so
loved
good.
It was a classy mustache. I've had similar reactions when I've grown mustaches, though. Dean has a really full one. That's
yeah.
I think, one of the differences. Not that yours isn't full. Yours looks like Clark Gable or something.
Yeah.
Like, you look like a classic movie star. Dean looks like Magnum P.I.
Totally.
For this list, we've had amazing response from our listeners when it comes to Twitter and emails here recently on some of the questions we've asked, which makes this so much more fun. So listeners, do me a favor. What makes a good mustache? I get that it's going to say fitting for the face and fitting for the person, but what really separates that mustache on different men? I mean, we've had some really famous mustaches in our time as humans. And it feels like Dean's was widely accepted and not widely rejected. And I want to know why and what separates a good mustache from a bad mustache on a good looking human. So let us know. Email us at Ben and Ashley at iHeartMedia.com, or please hashtag us on Twitter at Almost Famous Podcast. We read, we listen, we like, and I'll enjoy this conversation. All right. Big storyline of the episode, one that I think will continue to be a big storyline. Tanner Tolbert actually came out last night on Twitter and asked what the difference was between this story and Jed's story. The story is this: Demi tells Derek she was dating a girl back home coming into the episode and still has feelings for this girl. She explains herself as being sexually fluid. And as a result, Derek has to decide if he's going to stay and pursue this relationship or not. Obviously, Derek is conflicted. It's not easy for him. But Tanner comes out publicly and asked a question. What is the difference? Twitter reacted and said that the difference was that Jed was never truthful or purely honest with Hannah about his relationship back home, that he hid it even up until the time that they got engaged. And Demi came out and talked about it in front of a long-term commitment to Derek. Easton and Danielle, do you both agree? Is that the difference?
I agree with you. I think it's a little bit different. At this point, Demi and Derek have known each other for maybe a week, and she's just starting to realize that this relationship's going a little somewhere, that she's starting to develop real feelings for the guy. So she came clean, versus Jed hid his whole storyline until he got outed. You know, there's a difference when he had to come clean because somebody did it for him, versus Demi's like, you know what? This is my situation, and I'm going to tell you.
And also, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I think that Demi had she was seeing somebody. Like, she didn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And Jed was fully in a relationship. Like this person was I am Jed's girlfriend, and now he's going on this show for his music. Versus Demi's casually seeing somebody, and then she's going on this show to casually see other people.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think you're spot on. And that really, when we get down to it, that is the difference in this. There's also something I disagree with Demi on. But before I tell you about that, let's take a break and talk about one of our sponsors. There's a lot of open-ended storylines right now on Paradise. We have Demi also talking about how she has a partner, a girlfriend back home. It's something that we don't know a ton about yet, but she has mentioned it. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the show. She obviously has a very interesting relationship with Derek, something we've all been excited about. One of the interesting parts about this season of The Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise is that none of the relationships are that serious yet. Now we're just a few weeks in. But Derek and Demi are serious enough to sniff each other's armpits, leading me to this question. This week's Almost Famous question, please write us. Would you or when do you get to the place in a relationship where you're comfortable enough to smell somebody's armpits? And if it smells horrid, is that a turnoff to you? Is it something that you dislike? Or if it smells great, are you into it? What point do you sniff somebody's farts to say that was a good one or a bad one? Is this a thing now that we sniff each other? Ladies in the room, and Easton included, do you sniff your partner's armpits? And if so, why? And is it ever, at any moment, is it hard to do?
I love doing it. I straight up, I love it.
And I do it for fun.
Yes, I do, because it's a part of her that I love. I got to smell Dean Englert's armpits fairly recently.
Oh, that's right.
And that was to see if I could detect which one had deodorant and which one did not. And the difference was clear. But I think it's really fun.
Armpit, I'm okay with. The farting, I am not.
Yeah, it's a hard no.
Wait, so you're good if somebody has massive BO, if you stick your nose up underneath it? That's not a smell that you revolt?
Well, my husband doesn't really have bad BO.
Oh.
So.
Or is it that you like his BO?
Maybe.
Do you like it?
I don't know. Is the BO, sure.
This is a serious question.
I like the way he smells.
Yeah, his pheromones are something you're into.
Yeah. I wouldn't be with
Tori,
him.
What do you think? Would you sniff a dude's armpits? That giggle is so creepy
That
is not the giggle we need when I ask you, would you sniff somebody's armpits, and you go.
I feel like you would. Come on, tell the truth.
I'm really trying to. I haven't even thought to be. I don't know. As a girl perspective, being Demi, I would never ask a guy if I smell. Because I'd be like, please think of me as a flower and I smell delicious. As a guy, if he does it, I'd probably be like, sure. It depends on what date we're on and how long we've been dating. I can't do it if it's in the first few weeks.
I was going to say, once you pass the year mark,
I mean, I don't mind when Jessica and I go on long walks or runs, we obviously both smell. I don't mind that. But I don't know. I don't know if I prefer. But again, I don't mind her pheromones. I don't mind how she smells. As a human, she smells good. And you're attracted to similar scents. It's something to think about, something to talk about. So the question of the day is, Almost Famous listeners, Is it weird? Is it odd? Is it okay? What do you feel? What do you think? What do you want to express about smelling your partner's armpits at any point in the relationship? I don't even want to put a timetable on. Any point in the relationship, do you have anything against that? Or is that just something that partners do for partners? So here's what's going on. Demi admits to Derek that she's dating a girl back home, that she is sexually fluid. I am upset with Demi about this for one reason and one reason only. Demi explains to Katie that she's doing all of this because she's tired of being tough Demi. However, I would argue that by her admitting this publicly, she's actually becoming tougher, more confident, more vulnerable and honest than anybody we've ever seen on the show. This is groundbreaking for Bachelor USA. Massive. And so I think Demi in this feels weak because this is an admission of something that we are not familiar with on the show. She's probably a little nervous and fearful and scared. But by her being completely honest and vulnerable with the world, Demi is as tough as ever.
Yeah, I think that's what she meant. Instead of saying like she's not being tough Demi, I think she's saying she's being vulnerable. Yeah. We're seeing a whole different side of her. We saw this feisty, rambunctious girl when she was on The Bachelor. And now we're seeing her in a completely different light, totally bringing us into her inner circle and being so vulnerable.
How cool are these moments for you guys? I mean, you've been in these before. Your friends all of a sudden, I mean, how many times in life, it doesn't happen often, but how many times in life have your friends admitted something to you when you've known them for a while? We've known Demi for a long time. We've loved Demi for a long time. We've laughed with Demi. We've been annoyed by Demi. We've lived with Demi for a long time on the show. But all of a sudden, a friend in any one of our circles admits something that's unexpected, that we don't see coming. How much more does that bond us as humans?
So much. I mean, I've that's happened to me before, and then when they finally tell you, you get a sense of relief for them, but you're also like, ah, finally, like you're being you, you know? And that's like such a good, awesome feeling as a friend to see one of your best friends really come into themselves.
Ethan, I want to ask you as a non-eligible husband at this point, but a man who was a very eligible bachelor in his day, if you're dating a girl and she admits something like this to you, would you have a similar reaction to what Derek had, or would you be more thrown off and kind of would the relationship be over?
Oh, I have been in this situation and I reacted exactly like Derek did. The thing that comes to my mind, and I think that was present in Derek's mind, is this person is special, and this person is choosing to spend time with me, and that's something to be treasured. And whoever this person is someone that I really like, and someone that I support in whatever they do, and I just want to be there for them. And if they choose to spend time with me, then that's something that should be held very, very special.
It's not easy though. I mean, Derek really did handle this well. And I thought for everything going on around him, I didn't think he was doing it for television. I felt like in that moment he was in a situation where he really liked the girl. She was admitting this to him. It was definitely hard to probably process initially. I mean, it's going to be for anybody. But then when he finally did start to process it, he said, hey, I'm not going to give up on this yet. I still want to see where this goes, because Demi, you're willing to see where this goes. But let's not underestimate how big of a moment this is in Bachelor history. This is huge. And we are excited here at the Almost Famous Podcast to see how this plays out and to see what kind of conversation this sparks. It's one of the first times we've been confronted with this type of topic. And I want to hear your thoughts. Again, email us, please, at the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast. The email address is benandashley@iheartmedia.com. All right, next topic. Kevin steps in this episode more than we've seen him yet. He has a lot of comments about Blake, especially revolving around the Hannah G situation. We don't hear much from Dylan this episode. Dylan kind of stays quiet. The Blake-Hannah drama with Dylan does stay quiet for the episode. I didn't hate that. I actually kind of enjoyed it for everybody involved.
Totally.
You always seem like every season you get the random guy in the corner or the random girl in the corner adding in their opinion on topics that they don't know much about. And I felt like that's what Kevin was doing here. he doesn't really know these people. He hasn't been around a lot, but yet he feels like it's his right to express what he's feeling. I don't know. When it comes to Blake, maybe I'm alone in this, but it's became such a massive topic here in the U.S. and then also here in Paradise that I wish people from the outside looking in would kind of stop sharing their opinion when it comes to being on the beach. It feels like something Dylan, Hannah, and Blake need to figure out on their own at this point. If not, it's just going to become a cluster. We saw that, for example, and I think I'm saying that because we see this when too many people get involved in one thing, we see issues arise. And I think that's what happened with the Christian, Clay, Nicole, and Jordan scenario. But before we get there, let's talk about this. Let's take a break and talk about one of our other sponsors. Here in a second, we're going to bring on David Rees, who was Chicken Man on his time during The Bachelorette. And then we also saw him fight with Jordan in Paradise. And that's why we have him on the podcast today. He's a frequent guest, but I really think he's going to relate to what kind of triggers people when it comes to Jordan. However, before we bring David on, I want to sit in this for a little bit. I want to talk about a topic that happens here at Paradise all the time. We saw it with our buddy Dean 2 years ago. We're seeing it with Dylan this year. You're falling in love with a girl, you're falling in love with a guy, and then you have to watch these people kiss others on the beach in front of you. It's hard to watch. I guarantee you it's harder to live out. I mean, anybody here in studio, please add on. But there's a moment in high school for me. I'm going to tell you a story. There's a moment in high school for me. I was dating a girl. I was a senior in high school. She was a sophomore. And we were dating for a long time. We had broken up at this point. But we were only broken up for about 4 days. It was very fresh. And we just ended up at the same party. And I walk into the party and she's on the couch kissing one of my buddy's little brothers who was also a sophomore.
Oh, no.
And it tore my heart out, like destroyed me. And we were already broken up. Like I had no right to still be upset, but it was still so hard to see. And then your mind starts playing all these games with you. My question now is for anybody out there listening and the people in the studio, how does Dylan recover? No matter how much Hannah maybe leans into him at this point and says, Dylan, I made a mistake. I really care about you. You're the one for me. How in the world does he recover after seeing his partner kissing somebody else so many times with multiple people in front of him?
Oh no. All I know is like it's obviously happened before with, you know, Joe and Kendall, and I just have faith that Dylan can get over it. But if I was in Dylan's shoes, I have no idea how I could get over it. I think I would just be like, all right, I'm out. I'm heading out of here.
How do you not go just numb from that kind of thing?
Totally.
You know, in that situation.
No, you're right. Numb's probably the best word to use there, isn't it? Like just completely numb and probably sad. Just completely crushed. We've all been there. I mean, we've all felt that kind of crushing blow if you've been in a dating relationship. I mean, that's what love does, right? That's why love is so beautiful. We can celebrate the good times, but then the bad times make the good times feel that much better. But you just go numb, you go cold, and I don't know how Dylan recovers. If Dylan recovers from this, let me say this right now. If Dylan recovers from this, there's two things I'll take out of it. One, he's a better man than I would ever be. And two, he cares about Hannah. Like legitimately loves Hannah. Like he sees his future with Hannah. If they come out of this together, my bet will be that they'll be together for a long time.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
So you were on The Bachelorette. You saw Caitlin kiss other guys. How did you navigate that?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the famous stories is, right, we were in San Antonio and Caitlin snuck into the room that Sean Booth and I were sleeping in, and she kissed Sean in front of me in this room, and I was laying in the bed next to him, and we left, and it was numbing to me, more confusing than anything else, because we were just a few weeks in at this point, and I didn't have the strong feelings for Caitlin that Dylan has for Hannah, I don't think. I knew I liked Caitlin, I knew I was interested in Caitlin, I wanted to be around there for multiple reasons, not only just for Caitlin, but because the whole experience was still kind of, I was infatuated with the idea of still being around there and building friendships. And so this happened, and I remember leaving the room the next morning and feeling kind of just weird and off. And what happened that changed it, I was ready to go home. And I had told Caitlin that, hey, this isn't for me anymore. I just feel like it's not right for me to be here. I don't know how this whole thing plays out, but it just doesn't feel right for me to be here. And she said, here's the thing. Yes, I'm into Sean. I'm very into Sean, but I still am very interested in you. So will you just stick around and give it a chance? I'm sorry for, you know, doing this in front of you. And I said, well, that makes sense. Like, let's give it a shot. But it still hurt.
Yeah.
And the difference, though, is really, I think, the feelings going into it. If I was in love with Caitlin and this was happening next to me, it would have destroyed me. But because Caitlin and I, at this point, we're still kind of exploring what was going to be happening and we're more friends than anything else, I didn't feel that rejected.
Yeah. Do you think that's why they kind of, the last like few weeks of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, they kind of keep the contestants away from each other?
Yeah,
do you think so? Yeah,
I definitely do. I mean, you have to, because this happens. And Paradise is weird in the sense that we see this all the time. Every season we see scenarios like this. There's not a lot of places to hide. It doesn't feel like, I've never been down there, but it doesn't seem like there's many places to hide. I just can't imagine. It's got to be one of the hardest parts.
Totally.
Is watching these people do this in front of you. So, I mean, maybe the most interesting storyline to me, I think Demi's up there. I also think that not the Blake, Dylan, Hannah drama. It's more of how Dylan and Hannah respond now and where this relationship goes between them coming off of scenarios like this. I'm really interested in that. Moving on here. We have to get in now to Christian, Nicole, Jordan, and Clay. Never expected this to be something that we were watching on television. It feels like going to be one of the most dramatic storylines that we've ever seen. Somebody that can relate with these storylines is our next guest, David Ruiz. He's Chicken Man on his season of The Bachelorette. He comes on often, and we're bringing him on the day just strictly to talk about what it's like to be in a feud with Jordan, because he's been there, he's done that. And he's felt it before. David, welcome to Almost Famous Podcast once again, buddy. How you doing, man?
Good to be back. Always good to be here and always good to chat with you, Ben. How you doing?
I'm so good, man. David, thanks for coming on. You are now, just like Chris Bukowski is the guest that has came on Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelorette the most. You have now been on Almost Famous Podcast the most, and we appreciate you every time for it. David, we're here for one reason today, okay? I need you to go back to the less mature, less good looking David a year ago. Okay.
and less wise David as well.
And less wise, because dang it, David, you are one wise man now. You are studying still. You're just such a smart dude. Let's talk a little bit about what it's like to be in a feud with Jordan. I want you to put, you know, if you saw this week on the episode, Christian, the newest member to Bachelor in Paradise, comes in. I would explain. Let me just break this down, the Christian entrance first with you, David. But Christian comes in. He's got swagger. He's good looking. I'd say he definitely comes off as arrogant. Definitely comes off that he belongs there more than anybody else. I think right away we could tell that was going to get him into trouble. Like, I think right away we knew that there was something about Christian that was rubbing everybody the wrong way if they would have seen the things he was saying and doing. But one thing he does do is he spots Nicole first and he says, Nicole, I want to take you on a date. Nicole is really enjoying the attention. And we don't blame her, right? It's her time on Paradise. You know Clay and her has a great thing going on. But Nicole is definitely enjoying the attention that's coming on from the outside. And Christian, though, is the one guy. It's kind of sad for Clay, I think, in a sense, because you have Jordan Kimball, who you're familiar with, David, and then Christian, two very polarizing figures coming onto the beach and taking Nicole on a date. Neither of those figures are going to stay quiet for long, but there's a backstory to the Christian-Jordan relationship. They fought on Mentel All. Christian was around like one night and he decided to kind of step out and have his moment during the tell all. Jordan didn't appreciate it. Anyways, as you're watching this, David, whose side are you on?
So I think I'm on Clay's side more than anyone. You know, it's hard to take a side in the Jordan Christian thing that they have going on, but you know, Jordan takes Clay's side. I feel like, you know, Jordan is standing up for a friend there. You know, does he take it too far? Yeah, definitely. You know, there's no reason to get physical there from what it looks like. But you know, he was really standing up for Clay after, you know, Clay tried to put his best foot forward after Nicole had said, hey, you know, I want you to be more aggressive. I want you to, you know, put yourself out there. And, you know, Clay could literally, you know, just crush Christian. I feel like, you know, oh, yeah. Clay with literally just this, you know, he could just pick the guy up and crush him. But that's not Clay. Clay's a soft-spoken guy, you know, really, really, really super respectful. And I feel like, you know, Jordan is just looking out for his friend there. So, you know, I guess if there's a side to take, it's, you know, definitely the Jordan and Clay side. I feel like, you know, Christian is definitely arrogant, you know, definitely stubborn, comes into paradise thinking he's the king there. And, you know, clearly Nicole definitely had, you know, some, you know, charismatic moments with him, and they definitely had some chemistry. But, you know, I think he just kind of took the whole shtick a little too far. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I think you make a great point. We've got to be on the Clay side. I want to know from you, David, and anybody else that wants to chime in here, am I off or wrong that Christian really, really started to kind of irk me? Like, right away, I just felt like there was something about him. I don't know him personally, but he came in, and right away I was like, my red flag was up. Is people that listeners out there, please email us and tweet us if that kind of was the same reaction you had. But that was my reaction.
Yeah, I was getting bad vibes immediately. You know, he came in with, I feel like it was like really rehearsed. Do you feel that? Like, he came in with all these lines and one-liners. Mm. I feel like he just like had a game plan coming in there and really just, you know, stuck to his script. I feel like he had a script going into paradise and said to himself, all right, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say this. And, you know, that's really what he did. He tried to execute his game plan. And it was almost like he was playing football, or, you know, I know he's a soccer player. It's almost like he was playing soccer.
Danielle and Easton, were either of you impressed with Christian's swagger or vibe when he first came to the beach?
He definitely had swag. I'm not going to deny that. I was like, this guy is cute. But as soon as he started talking, I was like, oh no, this guy's going to cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that really threw me off is when he was when Nicole and Clay confronted them to try to take Nicole away. And there was this like whole exchange between Clay and Christian, and things got heated. And then Christian was like, Nicole, you pick. And she was like, okay, well, I'm just going to spend some time with Clay. And he was like, oh, okay, that's all I needed to hear. And like walked away. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, this guy was just literally crushing Clay with his words. And then like Nicole said, oh no, I'm going to spend some time with Clay. And he was like, oh yeah, cool, 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 bro. That's all I needed to know. And like gave like Clay a handshake. I'm like, this is so
weird.
Yeah,
they were holding hands through that entire conversation, right?
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, the entire time.
Cringe.
Uh-huh. That's very odd. Easton, what do you think? Was Christian at all impressive to you? I mean, he had swagger. He's a good-looking guy. But how quickly did that kind of change in your mind?
When Christian first showed up, I didn't like that Jordan was roasting him for his shoes because they were cool. They were Nike VaporMaxes. Those are cool shoes. So I'm like, oh, I feel bad for this guy. But then like 2.5 minutes later, I wrote down this note saying, Christian sucks. I want to watch Clay destroy him. I want to see Clay pick him up over his head and throw him into the ocean. I want to see that. I don't like Christian. He sucks.
Yeah, I agree. His shoes are great. So back off. I actually had to Google. I don't even know what kind of shoes Jordan told me he needed to buy, but I Googled them last night. They're like Tom's looking shoes, right? I mean, that's what he was wanting to get.
He said espadrilles, which is like, it's hard to explain, but they're very like more female like than male shoes.
There is a male espadrille, but I mean, no, Christian, the one thing I'll defend you on, keep those VaporMaxes on. They're comfortable shoes. Like maybe not beach appropriate, but they're cool.
What? Hey, and also, I mean, Jordan has the thing about tennis shoes, because earlier on, I mean, I remember him on the episode, he was kind of hating on Clay's white shoes on the beach.
Yeah,
I think Jordan needs to question his fashion. Hey, David,
can I say one thing really quick?
Yeah, please do.
I never thought David would say that he was on Team Jordan and Clay. So.
Never.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, Jordan at this point is a friend of mine, and you know, we put the whole thing behind us, and obviously Clay's a good buddy of mine too. So I think we're water under the bridge at this point.
I love that. I'd love to hear that you guys are friends.
You've spent some time, David, with Clay and Blake in Denver here recently. But besides that, there's some pictures out there going around about that. What is it about Jordan that is so polarizing, but also just makes you angry when you're on that beach with him for too long? I mean, go back to that time. You're friends with him now, but go back to the time when you wanted to take his pinata and throw it across the beach. What is it about Jordan that just irks you?
You know, I think he's just a very polarizing figure. You know, I think he's, you know, very strong with his words. And, you know, that could rub people the wrong way, for good and for bad. You know, I think once you get to know the guy, you know, you appreciate the, you know, the quick wit and, you know, his funny and his sense of humor. But initially, you know, that definitely can rub people the wrong way. And, you know, for me, it definitely rubbed me the wrong way. You know, kind of came off as definitely a little arrogant, and kind of like a know-it-all. But, you know, I feel like if people don't know him, that's really how he comes off. So, once you get to know the guy though, he's just, you know, he's a teddy bear. He's great. I mean, he's just a funny guy overall. So, you know, I feel like that's kind of the dynamic that's going on with, you know, him and Christian in that episode. And, obviously the physical altercation that you're about to see.
The Jordan will continue to be a polarizing figure on Paradise. Here's my last question for you, David. Will we ever see you back on that beach? And then the second follow-up to that would, are we ever going to see Jordan back on that beach if he doesn't make it past this week?
For me, never say never, but, you know, I feel like I'm on to, you know, greener things and, you know, getting my MBA and, you know, make my way through the business world. But look, never say never. I'm single and, you know, I'm willing to give love a shot any way I can. And, you know, as far as Jordan goes, I think, you know, he has a, I think you'll end up seeing him back there at some point, whether it's, the beach, another show, who knows. You know, I feel like this is, I feel like this is right up his alley.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, I lied to you. What would happen on the beach, do you think, if there were, I mean, we've obviously seen that it's an actual fight going on between them. Is there a security around that, like, breaks those up? Do you think they'll be fighting for a while? Will they have to go through home? Do you know what happens when people actually, like, physically fight on that beach?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you remember last year, Leo and the Leo altercation at that, at the cocktail party right before the Rose ceremony, Leo and Joe got into it. And, you know, there is security. There are producers around, there's some security, and, you know, you can't predict what's going to happen. You can't predict the fight, but, you know, you can obviously judge if something's about to blow up. And, you know, there are people around ready to jump in, but if they can't get there quick enough, you know, people are ready to go. You know, so we'll see. And, you know, obviously I would imagine, you know, any physical altercation, you know, results in a ban from the beach. But I guess we'll have to see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Hey, David, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Best of luck in the continued studies. You're the man. That's David Ruiz, sure. Chicken Man, joining the podcast. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you soon.
What an episode. What a time to be alive. Paradise is moving and grooving. There's fights on the beach. There's relationships blossoming, also relationships ending. If you have a quick recap of some of the things that we did not talk about that still happened this week, Jordan and Demi are friends. They have a hilarious moment on the beach, making fun of people. I don't know if that's ever as funny as what it feels like it is at the time, but those two are going to cause havoc, and that's what we love. Nicole and Christian are dating, as we talked about. Clay is off to the side. The rose ceremony has, a cocktail party, I guess, has started. It was a to-be-continued episode because of the fight between Jordan and Christian. JPJ is reciting poems to Tayshia. Seems to work. I mean, it was a little smooth. JPJ has something that the rest of us do not have. Chris and Katie are definitely, I would say, the most consistent couple right now in Paradise, or the one that I think will make it the longest. No, that's my bet. And as far as everything else goes, Blake, Hannah, Dylan, Chill's trying to figure it all out. Derek and Demi are going to make things work, even as Demi admits that she is sexually fluid. Christina finally has been said to be talking behind Kaylin's back. Why Kaylin pursues a relationship with Dean. Kaylin feels slut-shamed by Christina and admits it in tears during this week's episode. Hey, felt like a transition episode. Other than the fight, it felt like a lot of things that will continue to build next week as we continue to watch. Finally, we have a reader email or listener email. I think I say that every single time that we want to highlight. It's from Ellie. It says, Cam and Annalise, what are your thoughts on setting up Annalise and Cam? They both express a strong desire for marriage and children, and I think they would be a great match. Let me know what you think. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a terrific idea. We've never been successful on the Almost Famous podcast at setting up people. We've tried it with Ashley before Jared. We've tried it with a couple of our listeners. We've never done it successfully, but this feels like something we can make happen. Danielle, Easton, Can we try to make this happen?
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah,
Cam 100%. And Annalise, I think they both can catch a break.
Cam Elise.
Cam Elise.
Cam Elise. Oh, wow. That is something, Easton. That is something. Hey, Easton, Daniel, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for filling in for the Ashley, who is on her honeymoon, hopefully not thinking about the Almost Famous podcast. I appreciate you guys. Thank you, David. Thank you for coming on as well. Chicken Man joined us to talk about everything Bachelor in Paradise and also his time studying right now to get his MBA. Hey, Easton, Danielle, follow my lead here. With that, we'll talk to you next week. I've been Ben.
I've been Danielle.
I've been Easton.
And this is the Almost Famous Podcast. Later.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boom.